day to celebrate your beauty and your mystery. It's more than any I can see. I'm not the one I was before. With you, my life is so much more. Break the chains and open doors to a world I can't ignore. Lord, let me shine, shine like the moon, a reflection of you. Listening a little while to someone that's convinced that they are in this all alone. Here's my chance to share the news, to introduce the good that's you. Here you go again, you never cease to blow my mind. Shine, shine like the moon, a reflection of.
Welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. I know it's freezing cold outside, but that just makes us like the rest of the country right now. We're all pretty chilly, but hopefully you're nice and warm in your own house and you're enjoying this beautiful Sunday morning with your family and friends. Just a few announcements as we begin our time together. I have some good news for you. The youth are going to have a fundraiser, and it's going to be in place of Palm Sunday breakfast that we usually have, the pancake breakfast. So what they're going to be doing is they're going to be selling cinnamon rolls that you can purchase and then use them throughout the Holy Week celebration whenever you want with your family. The information is going to come out in the e-news this week, but they're going to be selling them from Ash Wednesday to St. Patrick's Day. So that span of time, if you place your orders, and then we'll make sure to get those to you. It's a delicious solution to our pancake problem. So speaking of Ash Wednesday, our Ash Wednesday service, we've put a link in the e-news, and as you can see the map right over here, we're asking that you come in off of Pine Drive to get your ashes to go, and you drive past the front doors, and at the front doors we'll give you the little containers with ashes. You can take those ashes immediately, and we'll speak the words to you if you like, and you can put them on your forehead in the car. Or you can take them home and use them while you watch the Ash Wednesday service, which will be available at noon on Wednesday online. Also, then you drive around to the bottom door by the preschool, and there you can pick up communion kits, the little communion glasses that we use in worship that have the wafer on one side and the wine or the grape juice on the other side. Again, You're welcome to use those while you're in your car picking them up, and we'll speak the words to you. Or you can take them home and use them during the service online, either way. Speaking of Ash Wednesday, again, we have one service that's in person here at church at 6:30 p.m. Registration for that service closes on Monday the 15th. So please register for Ash Wednesday if you're planning to be here in person. And finally, on Saturday, March 13th, we are going to be offering a First Communion class for those people who have not had their First Communion yet. It's open to anyone who's interested, but in particular, if your child has been asking for communion and you think it's time, then it would be good to register for that. The information is coming out in the e-news this next week, and we're going to hold it here in the sanctuary. We're asking that you have a young person and their parent or grandparent or somebody who's with them to help them in the learning process. We will be socially distanced, just like we are during our worship services here, but we invite you all to sign up and register for the First Communion class, March 13th, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Well, that concludes our announcements for today. Let's begin our worship. It's Transfiguration Sunday. This is the Sunday when we celebrate that Jesus has promised us a day when his glory will be fully revealed, but the three disciples who went up on top of the mountain with him, they got a foretaste of the feast to come. They had a mountaintop experience. Today, we celebrate the Transfiguration. And we begin our worship in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take some time to share that peace with the people around us or through text messages. However it is that you feel like sharing the peace today. We continue this morning with our confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose voice is upon the waters, whose mercy is poured out upon all people, and whose goodness cascades over all of creation. Amen. Let us join together and confess our sin, trusting in the abundant grace of God. Let's take a moment of silent reflection. Holy God, you search us and know us. You are acquainted with all of our ways. We confess that our hearts are burdened by sin, our own sins, and the broken systems that bind us. We turn inward, failing to follow your outward way of love. We distrust those who are not like us. We exploit the earth and its resources, and fail to consider generations to come. Forgive us, gracious God, for all we have done and left undone. Even before the words are on our tongues, you know them. Receive them in your divine mercy. Amen. How vast is God's grace, that through the power and the promise of Jesus the Christ, our sins have been washed away, and we have been claimed as God's own beloved children. Indeed, we are forgiven. In the wake of God's forgiveness, we are called to be the beloved community of God, living out Christ's justice and the Holy Spirit's reconciling peace. Amen. Let's sing together our opening hymn, Here I Am to Worship. Beauty that Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, the resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop and into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son and illumine the world with your image through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the reading of the lessons.
Our first recording today is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Today's reading centers on the transfer of power and authority from the prophet Elijah to Elisha. Their travels, which retrace the path of Joshua back to Moab, the place where Moses died, and the parting of the waters, demonstrate that Elisha and Elijah are legitimate successors of the great prophet Moses. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I'm taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and he tore them in two pieces. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken, calling the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty, God shines forth in glory. Our God will come and will not keep silence, with a consuming flame before and round about a raging storm. God calls the heavens and the earth from above to witness the judgment of the people. Gather before me, my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice. The heavens declare the rightness of God's cause, for it is God who is judge. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. The spotlight of Christian ministry is not on the people who carry out the ministry, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as God made light shine at creation, God makes the light of Jesus Christ shine in our lives through Christian ministry. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here end the readings.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say. They were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue now with our children's sermon.
Come on. Where is he? Come on. We need to go. Yeah, come on. Come on.
What? What's so important? What's going on?
We have to get going.
Going where?
We have to go back.
Back where,
Pastor? We're going back in time.
Why?
We're going back in time because it's Transfiguration Sunday, and we have to stop Peter and the disciples from leaving the mountaintop.
Okay, but you have a time machine?
Yeah, what do you think we're sitting in right now?
Subaru Crosstrek?
Well, the way I figure it,
yeah.
If you're going to build a time machine, you want to build it in something reliable.
Okay.
Plus, it comes standards these days.
Oh, it's standard. All right. Well, all right, so let's go.
We have to get going.
Okay. Here we go.
All right.
To the Mountain of the Transfiguration.
Yes.
Wahoo!
We're here. Oh, gosh, we must not have gone back far enough because, look, they're already starting to pack up some of their tents. There's only one left.
Yeah, I can see, and I feel your urgency. And what? Wait, what? Why are you so worried about this? I don't understand.
Well, they're gonna leave.
Right. Yeah, they're going to leave. They're going to go down the mountain.
Yeah, but so the Transfiguration... I mean, we've got Moses and Elijah.
Yeah.
Jesus is shiny, and it's like we're hearing the voice of God. This is like heaven on earth. Why would they want to leave this place?
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's like heaven on earth, but it's not heaven. It's just a little tiny sample of what heaven's like. This isn't the finished yet. It's not done.
But so my thought was that if we went back in time, and we stop them from going down the mountain, then we'd all just live with heaven on earth.
Nope. That's not how it's going to work. See, what happens is Jesus has to go down the mountain. He has to go to Jerusalem. He has to go on trial. He has to be crucified and died.
That stuff makes me sad, though.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But guess what? We're going to celebrate Easter, and he's going to be raised from the dead. And then he said he's going to go to heaven, the real heaven, not this, the real heaven, and make a place for all of us, every single one of us. And it's going to be this incredible celebration with God that will never end.
But I'm kind of worried. Like, are we sure that we're going to get back to this heaven on earth place?
Not here. Not heaven on earth. It's going to be the real heaven, and it's going to be glorious. But we got to go down the mountain first. We got to get to work.
I suppose there's a lot of things we have to do before we can get to that heaven place.
Speaking of that, we should probably go. It's time to go.
Go where?
We should go back.
But we should go back where?
We should go back where we came from?
No. You were thinking of something else.
Seriously, do I have to say it?
I'd really like it if you did.
All right, McFly. I guess we need to go back to the future.
Ah, you said it.
Let's pray first, though, okay?
All right.
Here we go. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for this day of transfiguration where you were bright and shiny and glorious and with Moses and Elijah, and you gave us a little foretaste of what heaven is going to be like. We ask, Lord, that you fill our hearts with faith, that we believe that you've gone ahead of us and you have made a heavenly home for us that will have no end. And all we do is believe. Help us to believe. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's children said, Amen. All right. Good.
Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. There are moments in life that we quantify as being special. And there are moments in life that are special because they happen so infrequently. They're so rare. And when they do happen, you know that this is a special time. For Christmas each year, my family and I would have a special dinner. And you knew that this was a special dinner because we would bring out the special plates. And after dinner, these plates would then be washed and returned back to the cabinet where they were kept until it was time for another special occasion that warranted bringing them out again. But there are also special moments that are special for the exact opposite reason. They are special because of how often they happen. Being told, I love you, never ceases to be special just because we say it often. In fact, the more that it's said, the more special it becomes. There are special moments that are rare, and there are special moments that are frequent. And I think what Peter is trying to figure out is which one is this. I think Peter's unsure about what kind of special moment he's witnessing right now. He knows that what he's seeing and hearing and experiencing is special, but is it that kind of special that only happens once in a while? Or is this the start of something that's continuously going to happen? Is it continuously going to be a special thing? Is this the new normal? And I think the answer is yes. Yes to both. So what exactly is happening here? I mean, Mark, God bless him, and all the rest of the gospel writers, they try their darndest to give us some picture, some idea of what's happening here. But honestly, there are just some things in life that are so difficult to put into words. I mean, we have a story about some of the disciples going up a mountain with Jesus. So far, we can create that image in our head. And when they get to the top, it's some weird stuff starts happening. It says Jesus is transfigured right before their eyes. But are you picturing what that looks like? I mean, that can mean a lot of different things. Was Jesus like a transformer, like Optimus Prime, and suddenly turned into a semi-truck? Or maybe he was more like an old series of books for kids called Animorphs, where he turned into some kind of animal. Chances are probably neither of those things is what happened. But the truth is, we don't exactly know what it looked like for Jesus to be transfigured. All we can tell from the Greek is that his appearance was changed in some way. He underwent some kind of transformation. And in our gospel reading, Mark mentions that he's noticeably shinier now, with clothes as white as could be, that no amount of bleach or tide could ever make them shine so bright and look so clean. He is shinier than the crab from Moana. And it's an incredible thing to see this shiny Jesus. And that moment alone is special enough. That moment alone would be enough reason to want to stay on top of that mountaintop forever and leave behind this messy, broken world. But we're not done yet. Moses and Elijah show up. Yes, that Moses and that Elijah, Mr. Ten Commandments and the prophet himself, the guys who died thousands of years before, they're now here and they're talking with Jesus. This is unreal. And to top it all off, the clouds move in and the voice of God breaks through and declares that Jesus is the beloved Son. That's pretty incredible. This is special. Now, Peter, being the disciple who is so often emboldened to do and say things that no one else would dare do or say, he recognizes this moment as special. And he says the only thing that can come to his mind, which is apparently, it's good for us to be here. I picture the other disciples kind of rolling their eyes because it seems so obvious. Of course, it's a special moment. Of course, it's good for us to be here. But let's give Peter just a little bit of credit because he knows that this is special. But what he's really trying to do is figure out what kind of special moment is this? Is this a one-time deal or is this the start of something more permanent? And really, I think Peter is actually quite smart here, what he does, because he hedges his bet. And he offers to set up three dwelling places. But these aren't like permanent dwelling places. These aren't like homes on top of a mountain. These are something more like tents. So in other words, he suggests that we stay and we have something prepared in case we want to stay. But if we're not going to stay, we need to be able to pack up at a moment's notice. And if I had to guess, if I were to put myself in Peter's sandals, I think he'd be hoping to stay. I mean, who wouldn't? I think he's hoping that this is the new normal of things because to his Jewish eyes, this is the moment. This is the moment the people of Israel have longed for. This is heaven on earth. And who doesn't want that? Who wouldn't want to stay on that mountaintop with Moses and Elijah and shiny Jesus? Except they can't. We can't. Because as amazing as this moment is, as amazing as shiny Jesus is, we still need regular Jesus too. The mountaintop feels worlds away from the trials and troubles of life down below, and it's tempting to want to fly away, oh glory, as the old hymn says. But we can't. Because the God who calls us does not abandon the world, but comes to it. God does not forsake the world, but dies for it. This future, this moment that we are witnessing, is a sign of what is to come. We're not there yet. So we cannot abandon or forsake this world that we have been called into. Because the hurt and brokenness and suffering of the world cannot be healed by ignoring it or leaving it behind to rot away and say, never really cared about it anyway. That's not who God is. That's not who we are. This world is in a process of healing. And that healing can only come through the cross. This world must be renewed through death and resurrection. It must be transfigured. And that means we can't leave it behind. One day, the mountaintop will be here. And it won't just be one of those rare, special moments. It will be the only moment. the regular, everlasting, special moment of the kingdom of God, heaven on earth. But until then, we continue in the ministry that God has entrusted to us to love and care for, to support and encourage. And we do so with hope. We do so with a sense of peace, a sense of calm, because we know what's coming. We know what the future holds. And we know that it is special. We just can't wait to get back there. Amen.
We join together with our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout time in all places by confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us join together in praying for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we give you thanks for those moments of glory where your presence shines so brightly that we cannot deny that you are with us. But you haven't called us to live in those moments. You've called us to be present in your glory, yes, but not yet, not fully, not until your kingdom comes. Now is the time for us to get down from the mountain, to go down and to engage with this world, to see, experience, and know the beauty and power that can be found in our daily lives when we follow your will, when we reach out to other people in love and grace. Thank you for those beautiful mountaintop experiences, and thank you for the opportunity to do your work and to prove your love in the valleys below. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord God, we pray for all those who are struggling with physical health, those who have had surgery, those who have been sick, those who have had chronic illness. We pray for hope and healing for all of your children, but in particular for the following beloved children of God. We pray for Ryan Steinert, Janice Roberts, Stephanie Hawley, Sue and Ed Brandt, Louise Golub, Jen, the daughter of Jeannie Robertson. We pray for Virgil Hendrickson, Gene Williams, Cody McNally, and Olivia. We pray for Katie Kaufman. All of these are people who need your power in their lives at this moment, Lord. We ask that you touch their hearts with your Holy Spirit, heal their bodies. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. In the face, Lord God, of death and loss, we know that you continue to hold out a vision for us of an endless glory that is yet to come, the promise of eternal life with you in the kingdom of God. So this morning, Lord, we ask for your strength and comfort in the middle of this time of loss for the following people. We ask that you be with Luann Benson and Vern as they mourn the loss of Luann's father, Daryl Benson. We ask that you be with Cheryl and Dwight Stenseth and the whole Gunlickson family as they mourn the loss of Cheryl's father, Willis. We pray for friends and the family of Bill and Karna Minette, who knew the people that we lost in this avalanche near Silverton. We pray for the family and the friends of Seth Bosung, Andy Jessen, and Adam Palmer. We pray for all those in the town of Eagle who have been affected by this great loss of life. Give them strength. Give them all comfort. Give them hope in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Lord, we do pray for our world today, that all those who love and serve you around this world will rise up to proclaim the good news of your love and your grace and your power and your hope. We pray for our nation, that we can stop for just a minute, stop being divided, stop hating each other, and let go of all the things we think that make us unique and different and right. And just for 1 minute, see the things that bind our hearts together. Make us one in heart and mind. Give us common ground upon which to stand and upon which to rebuild hope and trust. we know that you can inspire our hearts. And finally, Lord, we pray for all of us as individuals. We pray for our families. We pray for our friends. We pray for those who are lonely, those who are anxious. We pray for our children who have had to adapt to so many different things this year, to new rules and expectations. We pray for those people who are seeking work or who are struggling to make ends meet. We pray for all those people out there who just desperately need you in their lives. We pray for strength to get through this difficult time. We pray for strength to let go of our need to recreate all other people in our own image. We pray for strength to take up our cross, lay down our lives, and follow you in all humility and grace. We also pray that you calm our hearts and our minds and replace the anger and anxiety we feel with hope and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. This time we continue our worship with the offering, and again we use our offering time to reflect on what we have heard today. So let's think about where we have seen the glory of God and where we feel the call of the Lord to go down to the valley again. Thank you. We continue our worship this morning with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ our Lord. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the water of the river Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of the water that he turned into wine, he revealed your glory. And so we remember this day, in the night in which he is betrayed, our Lord Jesus, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And another time he taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Dear friends, I invite you to take your bread and hear the words, "This is the body of Christ given for you." And again, to take the cup and hear the words, "This cup is the new covenant in his blood, and it's given and shed for you." I invite you to receive the communion blessing. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, at this table we have feasted on your very life, and we are strengthened for the journey before us. Send us forth from this banquet, nourished in your body, nourished in spirit, to proclaim your good news and to serve other people in your holy name. Amen. And now, may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. We sing together our closing song, "Shine."
Celebrate your beauty and your mystery. It's more than any I can see. I'm not the one I was before. With you, my life is so much more. Break the chains and open doors to a world I can't ignore. Lord, let me shine, shine like the moon, a reflection of you. All that I do, Lord, let me be a light.
a passing smile, or listening a little while to someone that's convinced that they are in this all alone. Here's my chance to share the news, to introduce the good that's you. Here you go again, you never cease to blow my mind. Shine like the moon, a reflection of.
Go in peace, be the light of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.